Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time for Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California, as we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving the market today to find the best solutions going forward. With the man, well, if he doesn't know the solution, he'll find it. Barry Saywitz.
Hey, good morning, Paul. And if I don't know the answer, I could make it up pretty easy and you might not know the difference.
Might not know the difference.
So we're back again this morning. I'm Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company and managing partner of Saywitz Properties. Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to do sort of a solo discussion between Paul and myself on a topic that he and I have both been talking about for a while, which is medical office space, which is a niche of the commercial real estate market. Before we get going, I do want to do a shout out for all the people that are benefiting from no mask mandate in this upcoming post-COVID era. Let's just hope it sticks. And I'm sick of wearing a mask myself, and I'm glad to see other people smiling faces. So shout out and kudos to everybody who doesn't have to wear a mask anymore. Well, so, with that said, let's talk some real estate.
Let's bring me in through the magic of video switching software. I'm still in the control room, and we did this last time. Everybody said they want to see both of us on camera, so now we can see both of us. I'm in a little box, and you're in the studio there. I'm looking at you through the glass, and but we're looking at each other side by side on the screen here. I think that this topic is one I never hear anybody talk about. Let's start with the basics. Is medical space that different than any other commercial or retail space?
Yeah, and so medical space is different, and there are different types of medical space. So for those people out there that are novices, that are not doctors, that are not renting or buying medical office space, you have different kinds of medical space. You could have medical space that goes into an office building. We have clients of ours on the brokerage side for the Saywitz Company that are therapists or that are predominantly office type users that don't require a lot of plumbing, that don't require sinks, that don't require lab space. And those types of people can go into an office space and rent office space and don't need the retail component, be able to have their clients know where they are all the time and can go on an upper floor or what have you. Have other medical type users that really prefer to be in a retail environment, maybe like a dentist or someplace that requires or thrives from the retail environment of people coming in and out and being able to get to them back and forth easily. And those people will go into strip center or an end cap of some type of a retail center and don't have a problem with it. And then you have the people that really need to be in medical office space, in a medical office building. And whether that is a dermatologist, whether that is a private practitioner doctor's office, whether that is a lab, or whether that is someone who's affiliated with the hospital nearby. And then the fourth component, not to confuse you anymore, is the standalone where you have a lab or a medical center. So you might have an OBGYN clinic. You might have an outpatient center. You might have a dialysis center. You might have a surgery center. These are things that are standalone buildings where they really have much larger space and need their own parking and their own identity. So it's important for the average person out there to understand the difference between the different components as we get into talking about the dynamics of each different type.
So let's talk in general. Is there a difference between the lease rate for medical space and just any other commercial, retail, or office space, whether they're going to an office building or a strip center? Is it a different price for them?
Yeah, so it's important to know if you're a medical user and you can go into an office building, it's going to be your cheapest bet. Number one, because medical office space is typically rented on what we call a triple net basis, which means the tenant pays their base rent. And then in addition to that, they pay the net charges, which would be the taxes, the insurance, the utilities, and all the
combinations. Their share of all
their share of all of that. Right. And if it's separately metered, like if you had a medical condo, you just get billed directly from the utility company. But either way, you're paying your rent, and you're paying a whole bunch of stuff on top of it. Similar in concept to if you went into a retail space. Now, the difference in a retail space is you might have additional charges for the parking lot or for the roof or for marketing for the center that you would get billed back that would be in addition to all these other things. But in an office space, you just pay your rent typically, and everything else is included, the air conditioning, the taxes, the insurance, the roof, the maintenance, the light bulbs. it's your best bet. But if you are a medical user and really need to be in medical space, you're going to get that's the structure. You're going to get your base rent, and then you're going to build on top of it. It's called triple net.
But from a landlord's perspective, aren't they sucking up a lot more energy? They've got giant machinery and they're running, and I'm guessing, or is it not that big of an increase?
Well, so the issue is, in a medical building, you typically might have a common lobby, you would have other security and other systems, and then you have doctors that may or may not be open longer than normal business hours. But you also have, in the medical spaces, a lot of these medical users require water, and they have sinks in the exam rooms, or they have sinks for the laboratories. And so,
or maybe gas? Do they use
or gas? Right, exactly. And so, certainly, in the case of a dentist or a lab, you would need gas. So, what winds up happening is, number one, there's a cost to build it, but then number two, there's the cost to maintain it on a going forward basis.
Right.
So, if you can go into office space, it will be cheaper. If you need to go into medical space, then the question becomes: do I need a standalone? Am I taking a lot of space, or am I an individual practitioner that maybe needs 1,000 or 2,500 square feet? And I just have a small practice for myself, whether that's a dentist or a doctor, a dermatologist or whatever. I just want to build it and make it nice for myself. So
I would think you're a dentist or you're a family practitioner. You could go anywhere. But they seem to cluster around hospitals or in big medical buildings. When I go into a building, there's a ton of different doctors there. Is that just, I don't know, the way it's always been, or is there some rationality to that?
Yeah, and so doctors like to be around other doctors. Doctors like to be around the hospital, especially if they're affiliated with the hospital. Mm-hmm. Then they want to be close, or they want to be close to home, or they want to be close to other doctors that maybe they get referral business from. So if you're a general practitioner, do you like to be close to some of the other people that would refer you business? Mm-hmm. And in a medical building, everybody is the same kind of use, but the difference then becomes what's the build out and what's inside of it and what do I need? So a plastic surgeon is going to want very high-end improvements. They want it to be, for lack of a better word, foo-foo and very elegant, because people are coming in spending large amounts of money.
For cosmetic and for aesthetic, so it's got to look. It can't just be a white room where you're getting your...
Correct. And
facelift.
And certainly, look, if you're the doctor, you take pride in your practice. You want it to look nice. And so different people have different feels of kind of where they're at. If you were in a lower end area and you were servicing basic doctor services, you don't need all the frills that somebody else might.
So talk about it from your perspective, from somebody who's going to be a landlord. You want to invest in this space. You want to build out more of this. Let's start with the basics. Is there a need? Is there a shortage for medical space? As we get older, are there going to be more doctors and therefore more need for these kinds of facilities?
Yeah, I mean, as an investor, I love the medical environment. The difficulty with the medical space or with owning a medical building is that the build-out and the upfront cost to get somebody in is very expensive, especially now where you have construction costs that have gone through the roof,
right.
You have supply chain issues, et cetera. But the cost to build it on the front end, if you can get over that, then the difference is typically doctors don't move around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they did, then you'd be spending all this money over and over again. And typically a doctor doesn't want to leave, so they would sign usually a longer-term lease, 5, 7, 10-year lease, as opposed to a 1 or 3 or 4-year mm-hmm. lease. So from a landlord's perspective, you get that income somewhat guaranteed. From the doctor's perspective, you would want a longer-term lease, because if you have to put money into fixing up your space, you don't want to have to do it again. And then secondly, if you're going to use that as an asset to your business or your practice, if someday you're going to sell it, your office space does become an asset at the end of the day.
So are they attractive tenants? You would assume they're all making money. They're probably going to pay their bills on time. They're not going to trash the place or whatever. Are they good tenants?
Yeah. So for me as a landlord, certainly I like the medical environment. Again, it depends on the use. You would typically want the doctor to sign a personal guarantee if it's a smaller operation. If it's a bigger operation, then you may have great credit. We have clients on the brokerage side that are national medical, I don't want to call it chain, but certainly medical users that have locations all over the country and have $1 billion credit. And so that's the kind of tenant that you would want, because if you're willing to spend the money on the front end, then you're going to get it back on the back end. What you don't want to do is spend all this money and then the tenant doesn't pay and you have to go deal with it again.
Right. Saying these would tend to be long-term leases, you would think they would be. You put a bunch of money if you're the building owner, and they put a bunch of money in, and they don't really want to leave. And it's, in one scenario, I think that's always appealing to investors. You know what you're going to get. You get a guaranteed income for a period of time. But we're in inflationary times.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that, again, is the risk-reward. So nothing against doctors. I love them. I need them. They help people. But they also have a tendency to think that they know a lot about real estate because they're typically very smart people in general.
Right.
And sometimes they don't, right? And so if you signed a shorter-term lease, and then the landlord would come back and raise your rent in an inflationary time, the landlord's got you, and you'll just wind up paying more. Mm-hmm. The doctor who signed a 10-year lease 3 years ago before the rents started to shoot up, that guy is ahead of the game, and that guy has done a good job of hedging against, you know, the risks that are involved. From the landlord's perspective, though, at the end of the day, if I don't have to spend any money and I'm getting my check, I may have left money on the table, but I'm still happy to get the income. And so we're back to this issue of what is the build out, who pays, why, and then as the doctor, should I lease or should I own?
So let's talk about that. There's been this, maybe it's been around for a while, but I haven't paid attention to it, this idea of medical condos. You even see them advertised sometimes. So there's somebody comes along, builds typically a new building, and rather than me rent out these different rooms, I'm going to turn them all into basically condos. You're all going to buy them from me here. And so the landlord isn't the landlord. He builds it. He sells it. He's like more like a developer, and they're buying all these things. Now they're responsible for maintaining the trash and the electricity and all the other stuff in that scenario?
Well, yes and no. I mean, this was a trend, I want to say maybe 5 to 10 years ago, where they were building a lot of these medical condos or even small office condos because they could sell them at a higher price per square foot than what it was worth as the whole. So if I had an entire building, it would be worth X. If I broke it up into pieces, it would be worth, you know, it could be worth twice X or 1.5 times X. Mm-hmm. So that's how they would maximize it. The issue is now I've got a bunch of small guys in there that are typically less sophisticated than bigger users. And so you have the dynamic of that. But in today's environment, you don't see a lot of that anymore. And the reason being is that the development for medical space typically tends to be around hospitals and other medical existing stuff. And it's so difficult to get it built, it's so expensive, it's so time-consuming, that the developers that are building medical space are typically building bigger chunks. And then the hospitals have an affiliation either with a bunch of these doctors or with a developer where they're giving them business. So, you know, take Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach, for example. They wound up buying office buildings, converting them into medical, or they would master lease buildings and then bring their own people in because they would make deals with the doctors and say, hey, look, we're going to give you a deal on the office space, or we have office space, we're going to work it in our arrangement.
And many of these hospitals are buying up these medical groups, these doctors, these practices. So they aren't independent and affiliates anymore, or even just people that are, whatever you call it, on staff or there's another term for it that you can come have visiting privileges and all that kind of stuff. They're actually...
Well, if you're part of the group, then you know, then you're affiliated, and there's all sorts of business arrangements aside from the real estate. But the reality is that there isn't this widespread desire to build medical space because it's very cost intensive on the front end, right? The cost for medical space could be well in excess of $100 or $200 a foot.
Wow.
In the case of a specialized surgery center or a dialysis center, I mean, we've seen the costs as much as $1,000 a foot that has to get invested into the infrastructure for them to be able to do what they need to do. And so it's a difficult one for a landlord. Then the landlord would say to the tenant, look, I'm going to give you the building, here's the rent, and then you go spend it. And if you're not a very large company or you don't have a bunch of money set aside, it's a daunting task. So you're back to this, well, if I don't have the money, then maybe I'm better off just leasing and trying to get the landlord to chip in a bunch of money for the improvements. If I do have the money and I want to control my own destiny, then I should try and buy something. And there's not a lot of space out there for medical space, right?
And so if you want to sell that practice someday, which so many do when you retire or it grows and you want to sell it, is that building then, if you've, I guess I'm trying to think of, is it an asset or a liability here? If you own the building, it's kind of both. It's an asset that you've acquired at a certain rent and you've made an investment, but it's a liability. You got to maintain it. You got to pay for it in taxes. And I would think there are a lot more involved back-end expenses. I've never run a medical practice, but you can't just call the regular trash company and throw your stuff in. There might be medical waste and other sorts of things.
They have services that come and they'll pick up the needles and the blood and all the other stuff that goes into it, right? So it's a separate trash company, but there are services. But the real issue back to should I own or should I lease really is back to the dynamic of the operator. Mm-hmm. So if you have a large real estate company that's nationwide, they typically would be better served to put their money into their business operations because they get a better return on their business operations than they would only owning the real estate, which is why you see these national surgery centers, these national health clinics, or these dialysis centers, that they really just lease them. And they lease them on a long-term basis, and they'd rather free up their cash to go do other things. If you're a smaller individual practitioner, if you're a group of doctors of a couple of people, then owning is really not a bad idea at all. I'd recommend it. Why? Because you control your own destiny, and you create an asset. And if someday you sell the practice, you could sell the real estate with the practice. You could keep the real estate, and the guy who buys the practice could lease it back from you, or you could rent it to somebody else. The dilemma is in the middle. Mm-hmm. If you have three, four, five partners, and you're in a group, it's just like being partners in a vacation home.
Yes.
And at some point, somebody's kids grow up and they decide to move away, or somebody gets in a fight with somebody else, or somebody has a different philosophy, and now you have guys not agreeing. And so it becomes a challenge. We have worked with a number of doctors' groups and medical organizations, and when it gets big enough, they will typically have a operations manager to control the doctors and to run the business of it, because the doctor's time is really best spent being a doctor, right? You're not being a real estate guy, and you're not trying to manage real estate. You need somebody to do that.
And then notoriously bad with details. For such smart people, they have a reputation for not doing common sense kinds of things. Maybe they're too egghead, or they're in a other world. And time, they're just... they have so little time.
Well, and the other issues too is if you have a group of doctors, part of your plan is probably to grow the practice and bring in other younger doctors or additional doctors. Well, owning a building doesn't really make sense for them because they could outgrow the space. Mm-hmm. And then the guys who bought the building might not be the partners that are taking over the practice. And now you have a dichotomy between sort of the equity practitioners and the guy who came in, who's a younger guy who says, well, I don't own the building, I'm just paying rent.
Right.
And that creates problems. So there's certainly different dynamics when you get in the medical piece that just don't come up with office or industrial space at all.
Right. So what is the, in terms of building it out, is it just you got to have more power and you got to have maybe gas and some other things, or do they actually have to have specialized containment and hazmat areas to protect? And do they have to have certain requirements? For example, we're UCI and they have a wet lab. Right now it's the only wet lab. And they say one of the reasons it's so appealing and it's so packed here because they not just have the special electron microscopes and the
filtration and the air conditioning.
That's
and
it, right? Exactly. So the special stuff.
So now you're getting technical, but for those folks out there, we'll try and keep it simple. The cost for medical space, number one, is the plumbing. If you need a bunch of exam rooms and you need sinks in every exam room, then you have all this plumbing you have to run, and so you got to go cut up all the walls. If it's new construction, it's much easier to do that. But if it's existing and it didn't exist, I got to go redo it all. Mm-hmm. Second is, if you have lab space, whether that is a surgery center, whether that is a
lab any core kind of thing.
Any kind of stuff where it's lab. Then the question is it a clean lab and to what degree? Because there are different levels, 1,000, 10,000, exactly.
Right.
And the cleaner the lab has to be, the more expensive it is. And no landlord is going to chip in to build somebody's lab that is specific for their business. So now the tenant has to do that. So you see that a lot in some of these specialized buildings where you have research going on, and the tenant is basically building a lab within the building. You're building a building inside the building.
And they have to have containment. They have to have special ventilation. It can't escape. It can't get out into the public and all these things.
So you have additional air conditioning. You have additional permitting.
Filters, scrubs, all sorts of
that stuff. So that adds to the cost on the front end. And so you're either, as the landlord, is going to chip in the cost of the improvements. They're going to finance it over the term of the lease, and and then they're going to build it back in the rent, so the rent's going to be higher. Mm-hmm. Or the tenant has the cash, or they finance it with their bank, and then they're spreading it out over time, which leads to you can't do a short-term lease on space that's very expensive. I mean, it just doesn't pencil.
Are there people who just specialize in the space? I would think there would be because of the complexities of it. And are those developers, those landlords, typically hospitals themselves?
Yeah, so typically there are landlords that specialize in the medical genre of building space. There are brokerage companies that specialize in doing medical office space and are familiar with these nuances. Obviously, we do that as well. And there are architects and construction companies that also specialize in mm-hmm. medical space. You can't get a guy who's used to building McDonald's mm-hmm. and expect him to know what's going on in building a surgery
or laying out an office for somebody.
So, so you need people around you that know what they're doing. Also banks. Some banks don't want to do the medical lending, mm-hmm. and some are just fine with it. A lot of that is dependent upon the quality of the credit and who the tenant is as well. You have different things that come into play when you're talking about the medical space versus just doing a typical office deal.
And are these always going to be clustered around hospitals? We're building a giant new hospital in Orange County. City of Hope is coming in over at the Great Park, and I'm assuming there'll be all sorts of ancillary buildings around them, people that want to be associated with them. Or is it only when a hospital is brought in that we see a sudden upsurge of that, or is there always a need and always a growth in this area?
Well, I think there's always a need, but what happens is you have UCI build a hospital, and then all the buildings that are around it become much more valuable mm-hmm. as medical space than they were as just office space. So you see office buildings getting converted into medical space because of the proximity to mm-hmm. the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen that in other parts of the county, whether that's up in the city of Orange or whether that's up
in Bray and
Fullerton.
Yeah, we've seen it a couple of times. UCI here has a great hospital too as well. And I suspect that once they make that commitment or as they grow that campus, then that tends to expand into the surrounding office spaces as well. And suddenly everybody's thinking, maybe it should be a medical building, medical office space.
Yeah. And so I think as time goes on, you'll see that the areas around the hospitals become more medically oriented because it's a cluster. So if I go to one doctor and I get referred to a specialist, I can walk across the parking lot or I can walk
to get
across
my labs
street.
Done exactly. Or to get to go see the specialist. All right. So that what's last question is what's the future look like? Is it is this a space where we're seeing accelerating rents, accelerating because there's accelerating demand and maybe few spaces to do this? Or is it flattening in any way, shape, or form? I can't imagine why, but...
No, I mean, I think I would just tell you that the medical segment of the commercial real estate market today is really no different than the rest of the market in general. Rents are up, space is limited, and you're back to a supply and demand issue. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a doctor or small practitioner, you need to find space in a geographical location that works for you and a price point that works for you, and then the options become much more limited. I expect that market to continue to be tight, and then there isn't typically space that you can just walk right into, right? Everything
yes.
needs work when you're talking medical space. So I would just say on a going forward basis, the medical decision making is location combined with price, combined with the amenities that you have with it. And price almost is tertiary in that scenario, because if I don't have the first two, it doesn't really matter what it costs. The doctor won't be there. And so if you have good medical space in a good location, you should be able to get a premium for it.
There are certain specialized types of commercial use that seem like once they get established in that use, a medical building, I don't see them flip into becoming apartments later. Whereas I've seen lately where they've taken regular office space, and as that demand has shrunk, they've just gutted the building and turned it into apartments. Does that ever happen where they just find, you're always saying find the best use for a building. Does it ever really flip dramatically from one thing to another like that?
Yeah, well, so it used to flip from office to medical space. The problem is while you're in the conversion, if that conversion takes a long period of time, the owner or the investor is really eating the downtime to
right.
be able to make the conversion, because you can't have office
both.
Users in with medical users. You could have some that are maybe quiet or related, but you can't have certain office users in with medical. It doesn't really fly. But the other thing is that you really aren't going to see, at least in this environment, I don't think, converting office space to medical space. Because if
That's
it was,
getting
if it
at,
was
right.
antiquated office space, you probably would see it if it could be converted into apartments. Why? Because today, housing is the highest and best use.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even industrial, the rents, while medical rents are much higher than industrial, the fact of the matter is if I could build much larger on a larger site, the industrial is so tight, someone would pick that versus the medical. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've seen on other shows where you have developers come in here, nobody talks about medical because you'd be better off with apartments or industrial. So you have limited availability for product. You still have an ongoing demand for doctor space, for medical space, and for specialized medical. And I think that's just going to continue.
Well, it's a fascinating sub-sector of a very complex market. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it because I never hear anybody talk about the medical space world. They talk about industrial, they talk about apartments, they talk about retail. This specialized subsector seems to get ignored, except by those in the know like you who deal with it and understand it here.
Yeah, and I think our goal on future shows is to have somebody come in who is head of real estate for a big company that deals in the medical genre, and they can talk about all the challenges and the pitfalls and what goes into managing, building, and maintaining medical space. But I would just say as a closing note, if you're a small practitioner, really the benefit of owning just outweighs leasing, mm-hmm. unless you don't know if you're going to be there long term. And if you don't, then, you know, you're certainly fine to lease. But you're back to the same philosophy that we tell folks in our business all the time. You have to start early. You have to get professional help around yourself to advise you on what's going on. While doctors are smart people, they don't know everything about real estate. And if you wait until the last minute, you have no negotiating leverage and you've done yourself a disservice. So whatever you're doing, like in anything, you get an accountant to help you prepare your taxes, you get a lawyer to help you prepare to go to court, you get a real estate professional to help you go into the market and figure out what you're going to do with your real estate, and you'll be much better off.
All right, take us out. Final thought.
Yeah, final thought is for medical space, if you own a medical building, I think you're going to do just fine in the long term. If you have a medical practice that's successful, good for you. Try and capitalize on it. For everybody, at least for 2022, in terms of the medical segment of the market, I just don't see any softening at all. So be smart. Try and look at both sides of the equation. Try and plan ahead, and I think you'll be in good shape.
And tune into our show as we bring you more on this unique subsector, maybe even some people that specialize in it.
Yeah, so thanks. I appreciate the dialogue for today. I just want to thank everybody here at OC Talk Radio, our producer, everybody who puts the show together. And I want to thank all of our listeners and viewers out there for tuning in again. We'll be back next week with more Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm Barry Sawitz, president of the Sawitz Company and managing partner of Sawitz Properties. And if there's nothing else that I've learned in all of my years in real estate, it's to look at both sides. Try and get yourself educated. We're trying to help you do that here on the show. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.
Well, there you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Sawitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.